Today's episode is brought to you by Progressive, where drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. Quote now at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Looking to get out of the ads and back to the story? Fable and Folly Plus is a new way to support the creators you love. The podcast you're listening to right now, and more than 60 others, can be heard ad-free for as little as $4 a month by visiting fableandfolly.com/plus. And now, you'll start to see Fable and Folly Network shows are offering bonus content to all existing and new supporters. Find exclusive new episodes from shows like Where the Stars Fell, The Call of Cthulhu Mystery Program, and Civilized. Plus, early access to new episodes of Midnight Burger, all still entirely ad-free. The Fable and Folly Network supports creators of exceptional audio stories, including the one you're listening to right now. If you love our shows, we want to hear from you. Complete our listener survey at fableandfolly.com/survey. This will help us learn more about you, what you like, what you'd like to hear more of, and how we can maintain an inclusive, safe atmosphere. As a thank you for your participation, we have extras and behind-the-scenes content from your favorite shows. Fans make the network what it is. Thanks for listening, and we can't wait to hear from you. Find our listener survey at fableandfolly.com/survey today.
Hi, I'm Ryan LaPlante, and I'm one of the crazy founders of Dumb Dumbs and Dice, the production company that's made the video you're watching or the podcast you're listening to right now. Now, we're clearly busy. We're producing 4 weekly podcasts: Dumb Dumbs and Dragons, Blood and Syrup, The Mythos Mysteries, and Warhammer 40,000: The Valentine Heresy, as well as 4 event podcasts with mini-series releases at staggered intervals: Curse Code and Crown, Dumb Scum and Villainy, One Shots, and the bad movie review show, Garbage Town the Movie Podcast. But we want to take this time to invite you to become a part of our company and a part of our Patreon at patreon.com/dumbdumbdice. You can get access to our Discord, access to exclusive DM and character chats. You can get the chance to name characters in our shows. You can even become a recurring NPC and hear yourself interacting with our characters each week through the voice of Tom. You can become a patron for as little as $1, and there's great value for you at even that level. So please join the Dumb Dumbs and Dice family and help us make even more content in a way that you are guaranteed to love. That's patreon.com/dumbdumbdice. DUMBDUMBDICE. So let's do something dumb together, and thanks for being part of our stories.
I am Executron, god of merchandising, and I came into existence because Dumb Dumbs and Dice has its own merchandise. That's a god pun. Get it? Dice? Merchandise? Anyways, you can get t-shirts, hoodies, spiral notebooks, clocks, wall art, throw pillows, bags, and even stickers emblazoned with your favorite Dumb Dumbs and Dice characters and their catchphrases. Go to redbubble.com/people/dumbdumbdice. That's DUMBDUMBDICE. One more time for the mortals in the back. redbubble.com/people/dumbdumbdice. Get your merchandise today.
Welcome back, children of the night, to Blood and Syrup, a Vampire the Masquerade live play podcast. I am your host, Count Vlad von Lestat, drinker of blood, keeper of the Chronicle, and all around the spooky dude. The Coterie have broken through to the Satin Prince's vault and discovered blood alchemy and terrible sorcery that must be stopped. Everett killed the bodyguards in the gunfight, Iris used her awe to end the battle, and Ridley took up a shotgun only to find the Saturn Prince turning himself into a god. Abandon hope, all ye who listen here.
Blood sprays from our dear friend Chonky's throat as he drags a blade through his carotid artery. Across his throat, and it spills out down his big, sweet, beautiful chest, and onto the floor. Iris, you hear a roar of rage as Ridley leaps forward. Ridley, what do you do? Room full of people slashing their throats. You see Ridley frozen. His eyes are wide. You see Chonky begin to slip to the floor. And Iris, that's when you blink. And you see Ridley and Everett about to step through the vault door. And you know you have a split second to try and avert this tragedy. What do you do?
I'm probably just going to scream at them both to stop and not go into that goddamn room.
Bold choice.
Okay, so what the fuck do we do then? Also, you just yelled. Like, there's a lot of them.
So all of you are standing just inside the vault. You haven't gone through the busted wall just yet. Iris has stopped you in your tracks.
So what happens if we go through?
Well, it seems like you might try to kill yourself too.
Well, that's not going to happen. I fucking love me. I'm going to live forever. That's why I'm a fucking vampire.
I don't know what's going on, but it seems really fucking weird, and I don't want you to go in there.
Okay, what the fuck? You just told me I'm going to kill myself. What makes me kill myself? We still have to fucking deal with this. They've got Chonky.
I don't know. I'm just as confused as you are, but I just, like...
Well, is it better with you guys first?
So, Miles, to be clear, you had a vision of this. This has not actually occurred just yet.
Sorry, I'm so confused, Thomas.
It's okay.
I think he's being cryptic on purpose.
Yes. Your vision saw what we saw at the end of the last episode. It has not occurred yet. You have a split second before everyone in that room is going to slash their throats. But your vision has given you a brief moment to see if you can avert the events that are about to occur.
Did I miss that? Did you tell me that?
He said that right now.
Okay.
Sorry, I was implying it as hard as I could. But yes, with the way your vampiric powers work, you had a brief glimpse of the future as it will be. Ridley's sweet, sweet boy Chonky slashing his own throat, a room full of people killing themselves, and the satin prince screaming that he shall become a god. You know this will happen in a moment, but you, through the gift of foresight, have a brief moment in which you can change the course of events. What do you do?
I honestly don't know what options are open to me because, like... Okay. I don't know that I'm going to tell Ridley exactly what might happen. I think I'm just going to emphasize that we need to move fast, and go straight for the Satin Prince.
Okay.
And ignore everybody else. Like, just kind of as quickly as possible get to him, because he seems to have some kind of influence over everybody else. So if we can get him out, we might be able to reason with everybody.
Okay, then everybody else get out your fucking silver guns. I'm going to get up close. And he'll, like...
Is he a werewolf?
Drop the shot. No, silver burns vampires.
He's got a knife. He's going to get up close.
Okay.
No, you know, because it's silver... remember when I got shot by the silver bullet and it hurt like a fucking asshole?
Right.
That's what the Inquisition uses, because it fucks us up. So get your fucking silver out and we'll use it on a Satin Prince. We know he's fucking dirty.
And he'll still go down to his ankle and pull out the knife, because he's going to just saber-tooth run.
I'll pick up a regular pistol, but I will also load the silver bullets into my revolver.
Okay, great. So, Iris, can you please roll me a, let's say, insight and composure check, please? Ridley, I'm going to have you roll me an athletics and strength. And Everett, you're providing cover.
Yeah, I'll be ready to shoot, yeah.
Okay, so from you then, sir, probably a, we'll say firearms and wits.
Oh, interesting, okay.
Yeah.
Three successes for Ridley.
Four successes and one critical success.
Okay.
So four, one of which is a critical success.
Awesome.
Three successes for Everett.
Okay, wow. Okay, great. So basically, through Iris's, Iris manages to successfully kind of impart to you what she saw in these confusing glimpses. For her, it literally felt like she stepped into the room and it happened, so she's understandably a bit confused and disoriented. Nothing to do with how I'm running this, but purely because magic vampire. Ooh, vampires. So from the sort of sense of panic you see in her eyes, Ridley, you realize just how dire this is. And honestly, you were pretty excited to put a knife in this guy anyway. So, you know, she's really just giving you a gentle shove down a hill you're already rolling down. And so you leap forward into the room a millisecond before what Iris saw as all the blades go to the circle of fans' throats, the satin prince stripped to his waist, standing majestically in the center of what seems to be some kind of odd trench that's been carved into the ground in an elaborate system. You leap at him just as he kind of raises his arms and opens his mouth to yell, "I am become a god." You just plow into that motherfucker. The two of you tumble to the ground. And as you do so, Iris, you and Everett sort of burst through the door and you see all of the blades at everyone's throats, but trembling, as the action seems to have knocked them away. Most importantly, you see our sweet, sweet boy Chonky with a single crimson drop beginning to drip from his admittedly impressive jowls, but the blade trembles at his throat. Ridley, for a slim guy, you kind of expected that the satin prince would crack under the saber-tooth charge. He is remarkably solid in a bit of a Bruce Lee way. So you hit him, he goes down, and the ritual is momentarily interrupted. However, soon thereafter, you realize that he is not easy prey. So the layout of the room is this. There are 12 superfans, including our boy Chonky, arranged in a circle around this sort of pentagram. It's not a pentagram, but you know what I mean, like an elaborate system of symbols carved into the ground. Lining the edge of the room are more fans. Now, admittedly, these are not the top super fans, but they are fans, which poses a problem for the ritual because seemingly these people might be able to replace anyone who gets knocked out of the circle. There are also 8 bear boys in this room. Chonky is not included in that because he is in the circle of fans. For the ease of our own brains, we're going to treat each of these fans as a number on a clock face. So that'll just give us rough positioning, given that they're not really planning on moving too much. We'll say Chonky is at 1 p.m. Ridley, you've knocked Satin Prince towards 3 p.m., which is a guy with a shock of pink hair who is just looks enraptured by this whole thing, with blade to throat. The bear boys, there are two kind of at the door that are starting to turn their attention towards Everett and Iris. Beyond them, there are kind of each of them has a backup guy, just because this was the only entrance. You can see stairs that lead up into the abandoned clothing store above that have been stuffed with corpses of other fans that seem to have been drained for snacks, but that have also plugged up the hole, so you will not be able to get out that way. And that is where we find ourselves. So I'm going to ask you to go ahead and roll initiative. In this case, we're going to go with resolve, please. Just a straight resolve check.
If we have hunger tests, do we apply those to this roll?
No, no need.
Okay. Is it pass fail or do you want the numbers that get rolled?
Just the numbers, please.
So I rolled 2 3s on my resolve check.
1, 5, 4.
Yep.
9 and 2.
Okay. So we're going to go Iris, Ridley, and Everett. Great. Okay. So, Iris, you're relieved to see that your vision has not come true. However, from the glimpses you saw after Chonky slit his throat, you distinctly remember blood pooling in the sort of sigil on the ground, which you can see very clearly still, almost like an after image from a flashbulb, of a massive crimson sigil kind of pulsing with light. So needless to say, not being someone who normally deals with all this like supernatural bullshit, but being someone who has watched a movie or two, if this thing fills with blood, it's bad news. You're not sure what that bad news is, but it's bad news. So looking around, you have 12 people staring enraptured at the Satin Prince with knives to their throat. Bear boys are moving in on you. Luckily, Everett's kind of got his pistol up and is ready to rock. You do have a weapon, but you also realize that there's a ritual in progress. What do you do?
Can I see if I can assert any of my persuasiveness to take some of the bear boys that aren't in the circle? Because I feel like the ones in the circle are the ones that have the most focus on them.
Mm-hmm.
And like kind of snap those bear boys out of it but to our team.
Sure. So do you want to target the one that's the two that are charging towards you, or the two that are directly behind them, or the ones that are situated across the room?
None of those are part of the like ritual circle?
No.
Probably the two that are closest to me.
Okay.
Probably the ones behind me.
Yeah. So if we think about it as you've just stepped in, there's two coming directly at you kind of at a 45 degree angle, and they each have one guy behind them. So you're going to target the two that are charging?
Sure.
Okay. So you reach out with your, I assume you're kind of using your standard presence and awe of being Iris Dunn / Lurleen Lumpkin. great. So we're going to go with, do you want to persuade or intimidate? I will say it will be harder to persuade because they're charging at you, but you are better at it.
Then I'll, yeah.
There's an advantage and a disadvantage to each, basically.
Yeah, I'll try to take the dice with persuasion.
All right, fair enough.
Oh, hello, I didn't see you there. It's me, Tyler Hewitt. I normally play Everett Fry, but today I'm playing the role of Guy Who Will Talk to You About Patreon. That's right, Dum Dums and Dice has a Patreon. If you go to patreon.com/dumdumdice, you can support us at a number of different levels. For example, for $25 a month, you get your name added in the special thank yous at the end of every episode, and you get to create an NPC of your own that will join the cast of Dum Dums and Dragons, or Blood and Syrup, or the Valentine Heresy in their adventures. You don't have to be bitten by a vampire to be immortalized, okay? It can be so much simpler. Patreon.com/dumdumdice, DUMBDUMBDICE. Okay? Memorize it, type it, click it. The clicking part is subscribing. All right, you got this.
Hello, everyone. This is Tyler Hewitt, just coming at you with a little special offer for you. You know, if you're a fan of what we're doing here on the show, then we have, to borrow a phrase from Jerry Holkins, a patron-oriented experience tailored just for you. If you go to
patreon.com/dumdumdice,
you can sign up and get a bunch of special features that we're not really going to make available to anyone else, so do that now. Well, not right now, but, you know.
So it's a straight-up persuasion check?
Yes, so it'll be persuasion, and I think manipulation makes the most sense given what you're trying to do here. Okay. Well, actually, and maybe, sorry, this I should get some clarification on this. How do you think you're trying to use your powers in this case? Is it a matter of, like, I'm going to talk to you rationally and try and snap you out of it? Are you trying to kind of reach out with your weird spidey sense and overwhelm them? How do you imagine this looking?
I'm probably trying to overwhelm them, but I also kind of want to see if I can slap them.
Like physically slap them?
Yeah.
Very good.
You know, be like, fucking snap out of it.
Okay. That seems less manipulation and more charisma to me then, because you're literally just playing a status card. This is literally like... You're just carrying them. Do you have any idea who I am? I want to see a fucking manager. And they're like, I'm sorry, you own the Whole Foods now.
Yeah, okay. Their manager's busy over there trying to shiv the Satin Prince.
yeah, exactly.
So, persuasion and charisma?
Yes, please. And keep in mind your whatever bonus you get from your powers. I think you get a +2 persuasion.
Yes, I get a right. I get a +1 to persuasion and a +1 to charisma.
Woof.
All right, so if everyone, back, boys.
We're just gonna pause the game so that everyone can come by and drop off D10s for Miles to roll.
How many dice are you rolling right now?
9.
I would be rolling 3.
Don't worry, Tyler, this is her equivalent of an investigation, you know?
Yeah. It's just wild.
Each of you has a silver bullet.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, that is rogue sneak attack damage she's rolling.
Yeah, seriously.
So, I got, can I just list off the numbers I got here? So I got 6 successes.
Yep.
I got a 9, a 7, an 8, and 3 zeros.
So 3
times. Holy shit.
Were any of those on hunger dice?
I don't have any.
She drained Zarevich. Wannabe Von Zarevich.
Gotta tell you, Strahd is the gift that keeps on giving, both in this and our other campaign. shit. okay. So, if you imagine this, you've just got, like, two of the bear boys. For ease of identifying them, we're going to say one is in too small vest. So, tiny leather vest that is a little bit too small. And the other guy is in chaps. So these guys are just like full on, you know, quarterback rush. Iris / Lurleen, what do you say as you slap them?
Do you fucking remember who we are? Get back on the right fucking side.
And with that, Lurleen, the waitress from their favorite bar, smacks the shit out of these two guys. And they stagger, holding their faces, kind of in. They're almost more offended than physically injured, but it's just so shocking. But sure enough, you're pouring on the awe, and they seem just kind of confused and transfixed. You can still see they've got the sort of I believe you described them as like purplish black eyes from whatever alchemy is being used, but. Just the pure shock of this seems to have them at a bit of a loss. But you have successfully stopped the two who were charging. So good work. Ridley, you are entangled with the Saddened Prince, something every fan in this room would kill you to get to do. So he's kind of like baring teeth and snarling at you. You're on top of him with the knife, but not in a secure way. So like you're up on him, but it's... It's not like he's pinned to the ground and you're like, ha ha, all for me. What do you do?
Well, I think Bear Fang's back. He's going to activate vampire mode for himself. So he's going full monster. And then I think what he'll try to do is like get a hand under the jaw and just force his head up. And then instead of going for the neck, like he'll expect, he's just got the dagger and it's just that like speed prison shiv, like right in the gut is what he's trying to go for.
Sure. So go ahead and roll, please, a brawl and I think probably strength. And I will roll against it.
Oh, yeah. these are beautiful moments. Tom, I have 3 successes. 2 of them are on 10s. And one of them is on a hunger die, which means we have a messy success.
Oh,
just sucks the air out of the the dark, morally gray. Well,
that's why beautiful vampires don't fucking breathe.
God.
All right.
I'm dead now.
Yeah. So you go to work, just like battle shiving, the Satin Prince,
sunk your battle shiv over and over and over into his chest.
And, the messy successy. Damn. So we mentioned that you bore fangs, and you know, vampires aren't exactly your favorite bevy, but you know, every so often you gotta make an exception and just drink that Bud Light Rattler. So you sink your teeth into his throat and just start goring him as you stab. That doesn't quite seem like enough now, does it? eventually, so you bite down on him a couple times. I don't think you drain him, because that's not really what
no,
this
is. No, I think he's ripping flesh. Like,
yeah,
it's
so
bite,
you're
mouthful,
like ripping flesh, and I'm going to say eventually you abandon the dagger, and you just start ripping. And you're just in there ripping guts. And it's a kind of feral frenzy that I think you, like, you've experienced a bit when you're fighting the bikers, but, like, This is next level. You're just like full on. It's.
I'd like to coin a term here. I think we can call it a red out. It's like a blackout state, but it is just blood fueled violence.
Amazing. As you do so, you begin to just shred this major boss fight villain that I made lovingly, his dying gasp, is just the word. Now, and if you had a little bit more self-control, you might realize what that means. But instead, you're pretty determined that you can wear this man like a puppet. So you're just like, you're getting towards the rib cage, but, you know, there's just a lot of organs to get through. Also, he is, as I said, like a pretty ripped guy. And so it is with red in your eyes as you tear and gore that our sweet, sweet boy Chonky slits his throat. Because it truly is a messy successy. Everett, you see Chonky put the blade to his throat. Can you roll me a dexterity? Resolve and firearms. You have a split second since you were using cover to shoot Chonky. In the odds of disrupting him from cutting all the way through his neck.
So that's two regular successes and then two crits, one of them on a hunger die. Is it fun saying it this time? We all having a good time as I definitely shoot this poor bastard in the face.
No, technically you succeeded your goal, which is why this is now hard for Tom.
My goal was to shoot him. Tom's going to be like, you blow his arm off.
How am I the best one at this fight right now?
Miles did spend a good 15 minutes pestering me about whether or not I was going to kill Iris in this fight. Shit.
The one thing I'll say about Iris in fights is she doesn't really draw a lot of attention at the gate. There's the shooting Texan and the insane man sprinting at people. So.
Oh, man. Oh, geez. Oh, Morty. Okay.
You can't cut a throat if you shoot it off.
Yeah, I mean, realistically. There it is. Chonky goes to slice his throat. He begins to cut in. Everett, you line up the shot. Just as you go to pull the trigger, you smell the Satin Prince's blood as Ridley is tearing him to shreds. And it overwhelms you. This is a slightly older vintage than you are accustomed to. Also, you're a bit of a hungry boy. It's been since you got rid of your blood bag. This hasn't been a great situation, and it is a truly tragic moment to lose your focus, because your finger was already squeezing the trigger as you look away. A gunshot rings out louder than you could think possible in such a small space, shaking you a bit from your reverie. And you look back up to see the blade fall from Chonky's hand.
Got it. We did it.
Did it. As long as you end the episode right now, everything's great.
Woo-hoo! We did it. Saved the world.
But with horror, you see red expanding over the Satin Prince t-shirt that he clearly bought at some point. It's very nice. And you realize you shot him in the chest. As he kind of begins to stumble, Everett, you realize that not unlike the choice that Ridley faced with Harvey, you are now faced with a truly horrific choice. Do you let Chonky die from the bullet you shot into his chest, or do you attempt to turn Chonky?
Oh my god. Man, fuck this show.
Moral quandaries for Tyler.
Is it clear that I like don't have time, the time that Harvey had?
Like for you her shot him
permission and shit.
You shot him in the heart.
He 3 days to take him to the hospital.
No, he has Chonky stumbling to the ground as red expands on his chest in the way that only a beloved character mortally injured on a show can.
Can I yell out at Everett to make sure there's no blood in the circle?
You can, but he doesn't hear you because he's in Telltale Games' important decision vision. Yeah. Where everything just slows down. And all he can see is Chonky. I will also say, this is worth noting, Iris, and you noticed this, and it sucks. When he said now, everyone did it.
Fuck
me. So, worth noting. Everett.
They were screwed.
Okay. This is all going on inside Everett's head. I'm thinking about Everett losing one humanity when he fully consumed Martha. Mm-hmm. He also has two stains on his humanity. So I think he's a little cold and a little distant when he justifies turning Chonky?
Chonky, yes.
Chonky.
Chonky was his father. He's Chonky.
When he justifies turning Chonky, thinking things like, if everyone just killed themselves and the Sad Prince is about to go down, Chonky can tell us what happened. Chonky can be like a witness and we can question him.
Fuck, that's a really good justification for Everett.
And if it doesn't work out, I have a vampire to eat. Yeah.
And with that, Everett, you leap across the circle onto Chonky's chest and sink your fangs deep into his throat.
This episode of Blood and Serum features the voices of Ryan LaPlante at The Ryan LaPlante on Twitter, Tyler Hewitt at Tyler_Hewitt on Twitter, Megan Miles at Maggie Miles on Twitter, and storyteller Tom McGee at McGeeTD on Twitter. This episode was edited by Ryan LaPlante, and the Dum Dums and Dice logos are done by Decapitated Markers at Decapitated Marker on Twitter. That's MRKR. Our theme songs are What's Really Going On Right Now by Chase Allen Willis and Traffic by Kai Engel. And our ads use the tracks No Control and Chiefs by Jazzar, J-A-H-Z-Z-A-R. All of their music is available on freemusicarchive.org. When it comes to Dum Dums and Dice, you can visit our website at dumdumdice.com. Our Twitter and Instagram are at dumdumdice and on Facebook at facebook.com/dumdumdice. You can also buy merchandise at redbubble.com/people/dumdumdice. And you can join our Patreon at patreon.com/dumdumdice. That's DUMBDUMBDICE. Sleep well, children of the night. Ah, ah, ah. Spooky.
Dum Dums and Dice has to give a special thank you to the supreme beings of our Patreon at this time. Christian Menicola, Long Long, The Half-Blind Prophet, James Cuellar, DM Rob, Christopher Little, Olin Anderson, Sue One, George Dolby, One True Artistry, Orion Birchfield, Lord of Bradovic, Noel Lewis, Anthony Griffin, and Jill and Noel LaPlante. If you want your name to be added to this list, you can join our Patreon too at patreon.com/dumdumdice. Thanks to them, and a little bit of thanks to you.
The Fable and Folly Network, where fiction producers flourish.